the Rock Fight, where we speak our truth, slay sacred cows, and sometimes agree to disagree. This is an outdoor podcast that aims for the head, and today we are back with another piece of gear and another beer. That's right, it's your weekly dose of gear and beer. I'm Colin True, and I spent over 20 years working for brands and makers in the outdoor industry. With me, as always, is outdoor journalist and professional gear reviewer Justin Hausman. Hey, man.
Is that a different intro?
It is. Yeah, I'm trying it out. I want to give our qualifications
a little
beginning.
A little authority.
Yeah. We know what we're fucking talking about on this show.
Yeah.
So anyway, today we're going to be reviewing. We're first going to be reviewing a piece of gear the way you would expect a gear to be reviewed on the Rock Fight. We don't talk about stack height, geometry, or width underfoot. We talk about the experience, the likes, the dislikes, and because we're the only gear review show that actually cares about the world, we'll rank each product on the stuffometer. A scale where the best score means humanity and society would actually be losing something if this thing went away. And the worst score means that this thing, regardless of performance, and just like Puffin drinkware, probably shouldn't exist in the first place. And because Justin is the official Cicerone, not just of the Rock Fight, but of the entire outdoor community, we will then follow up the gear review with the perfect post-activity beer pairing. You don't know what a Cicerone is? What's a Cicerone, Justin?
You know what it means, whatever you want it to mean, Colin.
It's true. I think it's like a wizard.
Mm-hmm. It's a beer wizard.
Bottom line here is you'll get the pairings that matter most, gear and beer. And so, Justin, what are we reviewing? We each brought a piece of gear today, but what are we talking about today?
We're talking about bike bags today.
Yeah.
Cool bike bags. Not lame bike bags. Cool bike bags. Not saddle bags.
All right. Yeah. So I'm going to be talking about the Oveja Negra lunchbox. Which one are you going to be talking about?
I got the Old Man Mountain Juniper Trunk.
I think Old Man Mountain is the brand, right?
Old Man Mountain is the brand. The bag is called the Juniper Trunk. They actually use the word trunk.
It's a great brand name.
Yeah, it is. Old Man Mountain.
Old Man Mountain.
Don't know what, like, if there is an Old Man Mountain somewhere.
Wait, are they from New Hampshire?
Is there an Old Man Mountain in New Hampshire?
The Old Man of the Mountain is like, used to be this face, this profile face.
Franconia
Notch.
They're from Oregon somewhere, probably. I think they're in Bend or something. Yeah.
You know what? Just like, see? You rip off Portland from Maine, Oregon, you're ripping off the Old Man of the Mountain from New Hampshire. What is your obsession with New England, Oregon?
They didn't say the face.
Let me kick things off with the Oveja Negra lunchbox. So Oveja Negra is a bikepacking bag company. That's all they do. They're based in Salida, Colorado. They design and make all of their products there. They make frame packs, handlebar bags, seat bags. They even make some hips and backpacks. And they just have an absolutely great vibe. I discovered them actually in my local shop here in San Diego, Adams Ave. They carry their bags. And when I was getting ready for a bikepacking trip that I went on last year, to date, my only bikepacking trip, I kind of discovered them and realized that a lot of the, I don't know if they purposely used the Surly Karate Monkey as a template for their bags, but it definitely fits the Karate Monkey really, really well, the full frame bag. So I decided to give them a shot. So I got their full frame bag as well as the lunchbox. And, you know, the brand itself has just kind of a great vibe. If you go to their website and look at their social media, they've got a really kind of homey, we make stuff and have fun kind of vibe that makes you want to buy their stuff. And, you know, there's other brands out there like, Ortlieb or Blackburn or Apadura who, kind of have a little more of a polished, maybe, sort of, brand.
Okay.
Not big brand, but just a little more of a larger presence that kind of doesn't feel maybe as homemade. And this just feels like a little more like, I want to support these guys. This is a small business making great stuff, and I want to be a part of it.
It feels like like your buddy down the street who started his own bag brand. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
It just feels very
local and like niche.
Yeah, it's only a bad thing if like you get it and their product sucks, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those players in the bike bag space. Swift up in Seattle, I've got a bag of theirs that I really like. I got a large seat bag that actually can work with a dropper post from Outer Shell, which is a California company. And these people, they all make them pretty much in-house stuff. It's pretty, there's a lot of these kind of smaller players in the bike bag space. So I bought the lunchbox when I did my first bikepacking trip last year. But the thing is, though, I want to talk about the lunchbox because it's become an absolute necessity on all of my rides, no matter where I'm going or what I'm doing. First of all, it's a $50 for the lunchbox. It's a relatively small little bag.
That's a good price.
Yeah. It attaches with Velcro straps. to your handlebars. It fits all my bikes. It has straps for, you know, more gear that you can expand it out. You know, if you want to pair it with like kind of a big front end loader, like stuff sack, you can wrap it around the outside of that. So you have like a little pouch on top, or it can kind of sit there on its own. I usually use it typically on its own, and it just holds the perfect amount. I can get my entire repair kit. I can get a tube. I can get my spare pump, everything. And even like, I can even like stuff a sun hoodie in there with all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the bag is small enough though that it doesn't disrupt my steering, right? Yeah, it just sits there. I take it mountain biking. I take it on my gravel bike. I freaking love this thing. It's a great, great little bag.
I have a bag similar to this and I cannot remember who made it. It just kind of showed up one day at the house. Some PR firm was like, here, try this. And I can't remember who made it, but I love the bag this size on the front of your bars. I don't use it all the time. I only use it for specific reasons, and I'll put like I usually will use this on my like full suspension bike, which I don't have any other rack on, but I'll put like binoculars in it or something, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And like something like that. This is a great thing to take your like super lightweight shirt off and throw in there.
Yeah, and then they do some crazy colors. They call it like their whack pack or whatever. If you want to kind of get a little, you know, a little more creative in how it looks. I just have the basic, kind of the gold one, and it looks nice. So
yeah, but did you already say what Oveja means?
I didn't actually. I don't even know what's it say on the website.
It's sheep, black sheep.
Oh yeah,
that's what it stands for. They're low.
That makes sense because their stickers they send you are black sheep stickers.
I have one. I wouldn't say issue, but one thing I do want to bring up, the label on the bag is freaking giant.
It is large, big.
It's a large label, but that's it.
I never really noticed it as a detriment, but you're right. Now that you call it out, you definitely see the label. Yeah.
It's big.
So, all right, tell me about the old man.
Well, first of all, I didn't really look at what you were going to talk about. I'm glad that neither of us are talking about like a classic frame bag, which is cool.
Yeah, me too.
Old Man Mountain. We talked about them a little bit before. They make, I think, like predominantly super burly rack systems for the front, for the back. They make fork mount systems, I think, too, for like water bottle stuff. I think I've had a couple of their different racks, and they're great. I mean, they are made for hardcore riding in the dirt. You can actually put some of their racks on like suspension forks. You know, they're set up for that if you want to do that.
So this is a rack, right? This goes like on the back over your rear wheel.
Yeah, and I'm getting to the bag. But
sorry.
Yes, and they also Old Man Mountain's racks have a really nice like through axle system that they ship with. So you like take your whatever you have your through axle out, use theirs. It adds a little bit more like rigidity and stability, and just makes the whole thing a little bit more bomb proof. Anyway, so you don't have to use the trunk with their racks. I just want to talk up their racks a little bit because they're just so dang good. But they started
before you get to the bag. I mean, I've always had a bias against racks on my bike. I don't know why. I've never used one, so I can't say that like I really even know. Yeah. But there's just a thing when I see a rack on a bike that I kind of am like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that comes from.
I don't either.
Have you used a lot of them?
Yeah, for sure. I always have a rack. Well, it depends on the bike. I mean,
yeah.
Like for just like a regular rolling around bike. Yeah, I always have a rack on the back because it's like I might go to the store, I might get a six pack of beer. Like I might, you know, it's really, really helpful.
Yeah, but you have it on your Kona, right?
Yeah. So I have mine on the Kona, but I also have one that I put on my Hudski a lot on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if these are universal. Like I think they are. I think you could put them on the front or the back. I'm 99% sure there's not differences. Like you don't have to buy a front one or a back one. Mm-hmm. There's installation ways to do both. I don't know. I wouldn't put one on my full sus. But for a bike that I think I might take bike packing or that I think of as an adventure bike, pretty standard for me.
I don't
always use it, but it's just nice to be there. That's the thing with these racks; don't weigh that much, and they don't make any noise. So it's not like some shitty little rack that you bought at like REI. That's just like all over the place when you're riding. You don't even know it's there.
So
that's why I like it. And honestly, the Juniper trunk is exactly the same basic thing. Like it's just a burly bag. And I want to say it's 7 liters. There's not a lot to it. It's a roll top bag. It's made with a super, super burly waterproof outside. There's no logos. there might be like a one black logo. They actually, there's a Velcro patch, and you can get an Old Man Mountain Velcro patch if you want to stick on there, or you can put whatever other patch you want. There's like no branding. It has like a waterproof zipper. It attaches really easily with some straps and buckles to the rack. And it's like, honestly, it looks like it's designed for like a six bag of beer. Like it's kind of that exact size. But yeah. Because it's a roll top, you can like stuff it with a bunch more stuff. So like I've definitely put a six pack of beer in there and like a jacket. Oh good, it's raining again, everyone, by the way. Everyone out there in the world. It's raining again.
It's April. It's not supposed to be raining anymore.
Is it March that's in like a lamb, out like a lion? Is that how you heard that?
Yeah, that is a thing. That the other day. Yeah, that's March. Does that apply in California though?
it did this year. Holy smokes. Yeah. What else can I say about this thing? It's a little pricey. It's $125.
Does that get you the rack itself and the bag, or is that just the bag?
No, hell no. How much are the racks? Let's see how much the racks are.
But is this kind of like the Ovejo Negra? Is this one of these brands where they make it all in house? I mean, where it's like.
Let me look that up.
Yeah, let's look that up.
Because I saw that Ovejo Negra does.
A lot of these folks. I mean, I think the ones I mentioned that don't, like the Ortliebs, the Apaduras, like the bigger brands. I think they probably outsource stuff. But a lot of these small bike bag brands tend to make their stuff.
You know, it doesn't say, so maybe they don't. They probably do, but they don't. Maybe it's not made. You know what? I think that some of the racks are made in America, now that I think about it, for sure, because there's like two different kinds you can get. The ones that are made in the U.S. have like one particular setup, and the ones that aren't don't. So maybe some of the things are and some of them aren't. Old Man Mountain is probably going to listen to this because they're friends of AJ.
What's up, Old Man Mountain?
Feel free to like call me out on that. But I don't quite remember. I'm looking at your frequently asked questions.
We're going to say you make it all in-house. So if you don't call Justin out on that, because we're making you look really good right now.
But I mean, like we've talked about this before with some kinds of gear. Like some pieces of gear, you just hold it and you're like, oh, this is good. This is gonna work. This is gonna last a long time. That's how this is.
The lunchbox, for as simple as it is the same thing. I mean, they're and Oveja Negra's frame bags are the same thing too. But it's like, again, waterproof zippers, like you described. I don't think the fabric they use is waterproof, but it's a burly thing. I have all sorts of like pointy objects putting in there. You never worry about it. I've had the thing busting at the gills because it's like, I go out with a hoodie on. Oh, that's actually warmer than I thought it was gonna be. And you want to put it somewhere. You're stuffing it in there. Yeah, I think that's really the mark of it, right? It's kind of like that versatility.
Yeah, and like the thing that's nice about this is like, so I ride a bike, you know, for the most part, like around town, like everywhere I go. And, you know.
Is that in Marin, California? That's where you
okay,
are, right?
All right. you know, like the bike I don't, oh yeah, I forgot, I have one on my priority too. I guess I have like two or three of these things. If I don't have the bag on it, like I'll often have to like bungee like my lock,
right,
like onto the back, or you know, like I'll go pick up something from the store without really like planning on it, and like crap, like I have to like
where are you gonna put it?
I gotta carry the bag home. But when you just kind of, it just kind of lives on the Kona. So like if I ride that around to do whatever, it's just there's a bag in the back. I mean it just makes everything really easy. And again, you don't really know it's there. I mean yeah, it adds weight or whatever, but so what.
The weight is obvious, right? But like kind of like I was saying, how like I like this bag because it doesn't disrupt the steering and the handlebar.
Yeah.
Do you notice that when if it's fully loaded, do you notice a performance difference of the bike?
Well, so I keep it on the back. I should probably mention that it's always on the back. Mm-hmm. So no, but I'm aware that if it's in there, I'm aware there's stuff back there, so I'm not like trying to jump, you know. So no. Because I'm like,
I think you should try to jump more in that scenario.
Well, I would if there's like nothing in it, sure, I'll let it, you know.
You should have the beer in one hand, one hand on the handlebars, just ripping gaps.
Well,
I'll put
like I'll put my toddler in there sometimes in that bag
with the beer.
Yeah, hold this. How else is it gonna stay in one spot?
Well, and if she drinks something, then it gets lighter. You know, it's like it's all wins across the board.
Yeah, she's got to learn. But it's just great. I mean, like I earlier I said I'm glad that we're not talking about frame bags because they're like the most obvious. But I mean, totally, frame bags are so dope too. I mean, it's great. It's funny. I don't know. It's like I don't know why we didn't just always have frame bags in all of our bikes all the time. I mean, it makes so much sense. They look cool too.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. Like one reason we wanted to talk about these. When I wanted to talk about bike bags, and you're right. I'm glad we didn't do the frame. But the frame bag, it can store so much stuff in a full frame bag. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I like to use water bottles though, so I actually prefer a half frame bag if you can. You know, the category itself, the way it's been growing and the way, like, you see it more and more out there, these different types of bags. Like I said, I grew up just understanding, like, little tiny saddle bags, and you can fit, like, like a CO2 cartridge and a multi-tool, maybe a tube.
Yeah.
I'm here to lobby for the handlebar bag or some sort of bag like this on your bike for all cyclists.
Yep.
I never liked wearing backpacks when I was back wearing backpacks as I mountain biked. Hip packs were okay. Like that was an improvement.
I like those. Yeah.
But no packs is the best. That's what you're striving for. And usually if you want to go out for a longer ride, it's like, all right, well, I need a couple layers. I need food and water, whatever it is. So to have a solution that is on your bike, but you're not bike packing, you know, so it's kind of like you don't need something like that's huge. I don't know. I like water bottles, so I'm all about having my bags, having a bag on my bike now.
It is so nice to be riding around and for some reason go like, I'm going to stop at the store or here's a free thing on the side of the street or whatever. Yeah. And just have a place to put it. That's great.
Right?
I mean, that's not even like the point of these, obviously. The point of these is to go out in nature and do cool shit and have to bring your stuff with you. I mean, like, what's interesting is if I was going to go bikepacking, I almost certainly wouldn't bring this. Well, maybe I would, but I think it would get in the way it would probably get in the way of my saddlebag, bikepacking bag.
You know, but you wouldn't need it then, probably. You can store so much in that one you have on there.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. I feel like it might get a little... The roll top thing, it makes a lot of sense if there's lightweight stuff in there, but, like, it would be kind of weird if you had it all, like, straight up full.
What if you had, like, your, tippy. Like... sleeping bag and like down coat in there.
Oh,
that
great.
Was kind of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Maybe I guess I probably
then you put
would.
Your tent and other stuff in the handlebar bag or something like that.
Yeah, I guess I probably would. Yeah, I don't know. I have like a really nice Rogue Panda frame bag, but it was the only downside to it all is it was made custom for a Marin bikepacking bike I used to have, and so it actually like the bottle or the mounts. The mounting screws thread through the bag.
We're specific.
Yeah, so like I have to like I've so many times I've looked at that thing and been like, okay, I can cut holes in it, put some Velcro straps into it, and it'll fit it. But I'm just like, when am I going to do that? So anyway, yeah, bike bags, good stuff.
All right, so let's talk about again the stuffometer, right? So like if you Google handlebar bags for my end anyway, like there's a ton of options like, when I compare like what Ovea Negra has. I mean, like so many, right? And this is like where now we're talking about the smaller bags. So it's not even going to be from like bikepacking bag companies, right? Just it's going to be, hey, Specialized has one. And, you know, like everybody's got some sort of handlebar bag. I really love Oveja Negra's vibe and their products. But there is no shortage of handlebar bags out there, you know, and I like supporting them as a brand because I think it's cool that here's this little, you know, Salida, Colorado homemade maker. Like, you know, you can tell, like you see photos of the staff. It looks like the folks you'd want to go biking with and hang out with. So I love you, Oveja Negra, at the same time. My product rating is kind of like around a 7.9, but I kind of have to give it like a 4.9 on the stuffometer. And I think that's almost being generous. I probably should be more like a 3.9, given how many freaking bar bags are out there.
I mean, the thing with the stuffometer is it's a tough one because it actually has no, in any way, shape, or form, bearing on the usefulness or well-craftedness of the product. So, I mean,
it's just an acknowledgement of that we make too much stuff.
No,
right?
Totally.
Right? Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like, you know, for any brand that's listening to the show and like thinking about it, like, I see why you might be bummed. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, most of the stuff doesn't really need to be made.
Well, I think we've typically given like you've said everything you've reviewed so far. Like, I think as a product or as a category, you know, you said 10 on a couple of things. Right. So
yeah,
like,
category wise. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. The bag is a 7.9 and 7.9 out of 10. Like, and it's only because it's a bike bag. I mean, I can't go probably over an 8 for a small bike bag. Right. But in terms of like how much I use it. I mean, I use the bag more than I use some of my bikes, right? Because I take my bikes out different times, and I always have the bag on whatever bike I'm riding. So it's a great addition to my kit. But it's just the category is just stuffed, you know?
So for me, I got to pick different numbers. 7.9 is pretty high. Is that the highest you've given anything?
That's the first time I've been able to review something. This is first review on Gear and Beer.
And you started right out there with a 7.9.
Yeah. Well, you said like those Scarpas were 10s or whatever, so I don't feel
shoes.
That bad.
No, you're right. God.
I think that I definitely am weighting it because they're a cool brand.
I'm going to go just straight 7, I think. Like there's I've had bags that I, you know, they're for
actually,
whatever reason. Well, hold on now. For whatever reason, I'm super into this like really cheap State Bicycles frame bag I have right now, and I can't really explain it. It just looks cool. It fits right. It's easy to put on. It's just a freaking canvas, I guess, or whatever, cotton, whatever. Maybe it's Cordura bag, and it's just like I love that little thing. Like that I rate that really high. Like, this is a well, this is a much better made bag. It's absolutely awesome, but it is also just a bag. You know, it's hard
the
to
the
get.
Old man bag is better, yeah, better yeah. made than
I mean,
the other one.
It's way, it's, I mean, this old, the old man mountain stuff is like the best stuff, best made stuff you're really going to find. Like, right. The bag is made incredibly well, but at the end of the day, it is literally a bag. I mean, it's like a grocery bag, so with a zipper, so it's hard to get like super fired up.
Given that part of the category, like the handlebar bag is kind of like the saddle bag, right? You're going to find little things that everybody makes. Is it a little more unique, the old
I would
man
say,
bag?
You know, I guess I would say I assume so. I mean, I've,
yeah, right.
You know, like ask the bikepacking.com guys. You know, I haven't been
right.
In this world for that long. And so I haven't seen, I mean, I'm surprised I didn't make that comparison earlier. It really is like a grocery, like a roll top grocery bag. You know, it's a flat bottom, you know.
I kind of appreciate the utilitarian nature of that, right?
Exactly. It's nice. And so, so I don't know. I want to say like 7 just because I feel like it's not doing anything that revolutionary. But on the
we should dock them a point for ripping off New England, you know, like we talked about at the beginning.
I bet these people have never been there. I vaguely know what you're talking
How
about.
How dare you? I have a tattoo of the old man of the mountain on my leg. I just wanted to let you know that. Yeah, I do.
Is it, so this is like a mountain where there's a vague shape of the face in it, like Jesus on toast.
If you look at like the license plate of New Hampshire, like the little icon on there is the old man of the mountain. It looks like a face, but it fell off in like 2004.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
completely.
What a shame.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
I don't
know. Anyway,
I don't even know if I stuffometered it. Yeah, I guess I'll give it a 7. I mean,
7.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Sounds right. Feels right.
Okay, now let's turn our attention to after the activity. At the break, the put in the trailhead. We're going to crack open the cooler and imbibe a beverage so we can celebrate our wins and losses in the backcountry. Let's have a beer. So, all right, we're wearing our jorts and our hipster bike caps. We're riding around on gravel bikes loaded up with trendy colored bike bags. And when we're doing that, what are we drinking, Justin?
Well, it just occurred to me you probably should be drinking Pabst. I mean, what you just described.
Oh, it gives me a headache, though.
Or like Montucky Cold Snap. I don't know if people are drinking that down there.
Okay, so... We're on our full suspension bikes.
Well, so I picked because we've already done Budweiser, which is pretty refreshing, obviously.
Yes.
And so I wanted something similar, something that you would probably take in a bike bag on a long bike ride, and kicked around the idea of a Radler. And if you don't know Radlers, it is usually, well, almost always, it's like a lager of some kind. With traditionally, it's like a lemon, like a lemon lime soda. It's a German thing, but you know, people are exploring different ways to make them. You can get lemon from lots of different breweries, but they're kind of there's not really a more refreshing beer in the world, I don't think. I mean, and it's, you know, there's something other than beer. There is some kind of soda in it, but holy smokes, they are refreshing. Like in the summertime when it's hot, they're dangerous. I mean, because it really does taste like you're just drinking like a LaCroix or something,
right.
Not even that, just like, or like a Spindrift, some kind of fruit juice with like sparkling. I mean, they're pretty dang good, but they're beer. It's just a lovely combination of like slightly sweet and bitter. Oh, they're good. So today we're doing Cali Squeeze, which is apparently a Firestone. It's actually kind of hard to tell. If you go to their website, it does say Firestone Walker on it, but it sounds like they used to be made by Slow Brew. Which is a near and dear to my heart because I grew up in the San Luis Obispo area, and Slow Brew is been around forever. They've probably changed hands a few times, but they're a brewery.
Also, maybe Firestone acquired them or something like that.
I don't know if they acquired Slow Brew or if they acquired this, but
okay.
That's what it's. And I'm only guessing because on Beer Advocate, which is like a huge website for beer, you know, reviews. A couple of people mentioned they think it was Slow Brew, and in fact, actually, I think if you Google it, you might even see cans that say Slow Brew on it. But anyway, I've always known it as a Firestone. It's one of my go-to beers in the summertime. I actually had one just the other day. My local bike shop / beer place, which it's just a wonderful thing to have that. Like, this is like literally a bike shop with a bar in it. It's so fun. I mean, you just get
the
your
Daily
beer.
The Daily actually reported on somebody. People try that, but they usually get it wrong. They don't kind of treat the beer or the coffee part of the business as like an actual beer or coffee shop. You know what I mean? It's like you got to do it right.
There's been, this is obviously not like a uncommon thing. One of my favorite places in San Francisco, it's not there anymore, but it wasn't mountain bikes. It was just like a bike, like kind of cool road bikes, but just regular bikes in the back and like a cafe up front. And it would be awesome because people would be like wheeling their bikes to get like a tube fix or something through, you know, everybody's having glasses of wine. Anyway, but this place is called Split Rock, and it's amazing. But they have
Shout out Split Rock.
They almost always have this on draft, at least in summertime. So that's where I'm going.
So
what, anyway,
what's the what makes, so it's Cali Blood Orange. Like so, what? I've not had this. This is my first time trying it. So what should I be expecting here, Mr. Cicerone?
Okay, so it's a wheat beer first of all. So which means it's not like a traditional Radler, for whether that is even a real thing or not. So it's going to be a lot softer than, you know, wheat beers tend to be a bit softer, a bit more, I hate to use the term bready, but they have a bit,
is it tangy? Kind of a,
like no. Like the mouthfeel itself is, it's just to me, it's just a little bit softer than a beer that's made traditionally with just regular barley, you know? So this has actually obviously has like wheat in it. Mm. So maybe a bit starchier, I guess, possibly.
Okay.
But with a good dose of blood orange, and so it's not just like pure blood orange juice, I don't think, like it's a little bit sweeter, but it's just a nice, it's nice and refreshing, it's a nice summer drink.
All right,
let's go for
you ready
it.
To open this
let's
up
pull it out of the bike bag pull there you go
all right okay. I got it right here. Okay, you ready? Tell me when you're ready.
Let's do it. 3, 2, 1
That was loud in my earphones, so I know we got that.
Good.
All right, here we go.
Sound. All right,
get a little sniff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, cheers.
Oh yeah, cheers. Well, we can't. Yeah, I can't really. It's hard to make the two cans click.
Cans
sound,
clink.
Think about it.
Clink,
we can't really open a can and then clink glasses. Anyway.
Cheers.
All right, here we go.
Hold on. I'm going to do one more here.
It doesn't like it.
That's not true.
Okay.
Very easy drinking.
See? Yeah.
Very easy drinking.
Yeah.
It's actually, I said before we started this bit that I kind of, because of the blood orange, like the logo on it, I'm just getting that like San Pellegrino vibe.
Oh, big time. Yeah, it actually kind of tastes like that a little bit.
It does taste like that, but frankly, it's more drinkable than that because San Pellegrinos a lot of times are really, really sweet.
Really sweet and overcome.
And this is kind of like drinking a blood orange San Pellegrino, but with that little beery, it's almost like finishes it, the initial taste is more like seltzer,
right.
It finishes beer.
That's kind of how like a Radler is. Like your first taste is like, oh, this is like a soda, and then you're like, whoop, hold on, because you know the bitterness comes in at the end.
This is really good. I actually like this a lot.
Yeah, I want to say it's 5%, so it's pretty chill in terms of the alcohol level.
I said because I'm reading it on the can as you said that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So Cali Squeeze makes a bunch of other ones, which is interesting. I've never seen any of these other ones. They make a tangerine, a passion fruit, a peach, pomegranate, a lemon chill. Oh, an extra lemon chill. I wonder what that means.
Ooh.
So that would probably taste a bit more like a traditional. It's really strong. That would probably taste a bit more like a traditional Radler, I would suppose. I don't know if they're all wheat beers or not. Don't know.
So pairing it with the bags, I kind of look at it as, yeah, like, you know, like if you had these in the mountain stream that you carried around all day while you're bike packing or whatever, you pull it out of the bag, right? This would be kind of an epic beer after a day. If you pulled this out of your bike bag, you'd be kind of a hero.
So the first gear and beer we did, Founders All Day IPA. And that's kind of traditionally my go-to camping beer, but I will always have a Radler with me. And I often, like, if I'm going to go backpacking, I usually get, like, a tall can either of this or of Stiegel Radler, which is really, really good. I think that one's grapefruit, usually. They make lemon as well. And I'll throw that in my backpack. And then if I'm camping somewhere next to a river, throw it in there. I mean, it takes a long time for it to get cold. It's just more the joy of putting it in the river and pulling it out later. But because there's
that
just something
season's
nice
coming,
about
buddy.
I know, dude. It can't go soon enough as I look out and just see, like, torrential downpours. yeah, just something so nice about the fruitiness. It's just so refreshing. But that's what you want. Like, you don't want to pull. I mean, part of me is like, okay, we're doing like kind of burly bike bags, like you think maybe stouts or porters or something, and that's fine. But like, if you're riding and you're hot and you're sweaty, you want something like this. This is a very bike friendly beer.
Or you just skip the bags and you just pull up to Split Rock and roll
or
in.
You just go to Split Rock. Cali Squeeze.
You say, I know Justin, and they're like, oh. That guy.
They won't know who I am, but if you mention my girls, they'll know who you're talking about. Oh, the girls with the Fritos and the chocolate milk? Oh, yeah. Their dad? Yeah, he's great.
He's talking about his kids, folks.
Yes, I have children. Yes, and I live in Marin. Have I not mentioned
just
that?
Not just his harem.
Not just random girls. Yeah, good point.
Oh, sorry. I know about Justin's girls, let me tell you. You know.
I hadn't really thought about that, how that sounded.
Well, that's because you're turned into, you're in full dad mode. You don't full think about that mode. Stuff as nope. But you would have connected those dads right away.
Absolutely.
5 years ago.
I will, and I will again in 5 years. But
in
now,
5 years, right.
Not right now.
Is Firestone available nationwide?
It has to be. Firestone's pretty big.
I'm trying to remember. I remember always, I mean, obviously I learned about it probably drinking it. I probably learned about it traveling for work and coming to California and like, oh, Firestone.
Yeah, but it's big. I mean, it's bigger now. I'd be surprised if you couldn't get it. You definitely can get it like nationwide, but I don't know how easy it is to get. But it's kind of it's pretty big. But honestly, any Rattler would kind of work with this. Like, and again, this isn't technically a Rattler because it's a wheat beer, but like any of these sort of like fruit soda beers would work.
Okay, so a lot of you've had this before. Let me kick off the rating of the beer. I want to see where if my rating lines up with yours. This is a Budweiser. You were 6.2. No, I was a 6.2. You were 7.1. You were an 8 for the Athletic Brewing, and I was a 5.9. Wow, this is really drinkable. Even though it finishes like a beer, it doesn't like. There's no real aftertaste.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
Well, it's gonna be between. I think I legitimately like it more than the Athletic.
Oh yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I'd have this over the Athletic. The Athletic, I was rating it really highly because it's really hard to pull off an alcoholic beer.
Yeah, you gave it like bonus points, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna give this one a 7. I'm gonna give it a 7.1.
I'm gonna go 7.5, which is solid. That's a good number. I mean,
yeah.
Which is weird because, like I said, I mean, if I don't care about alcohol, I would.
Yep.
Have one of these all day long before I'd have the non-alcohol or before I'd have the Athletic.
Right.
But the Athletic is a bit more of like a triumph because it's not easy to do that.
All right. To summarize this episode of Gear and Beer, we have the Old Man Mountain Juniper Trunk, which Justin rated a 7 on the Stuffometer. And we also have the Oveja Negra Lunchbox, which I rated a 7.9 on the Stuffometer. And after you get done with your day of bikepacking, the official Cicerone of the Rock Fight suggests refreshing yourself with a frosty cold Cali Squeeze Blood Orange, which Justin gave a 7.5, and I gave a 7.1 on the Gear and Beer scale. Is that about right? Did we do it again? Did we do another episode of Gear and Beer?
I think we just did one. Mm-hmm.
That's like amazing.
Yeah.
This is getting easy. We got to get some challenges in here.
Gear and what else? What else?
Cocaine.
Okay. It'll be my first time.
That would be a great intro.
Should we do that? This is my first.
Today we're going to do 6 lines of blow, then talk about some gear. All right, man. I guess that's the show. That's the show for the day.
That's our show.
All right, that's the show. What did you think of this edition of Gear and Beer? Do you have a suggestion for a future edition of Gear and Beer that involves cocaine? Do you simply like gear and beer? Send an email to myrockfight@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. The Rock Fight is a production of Rock Fight LLC. For Justin Hausman, I'm Colin True. Thanks for listening. And here to take us out, he's thinking about it for a minute more. It's either work at McDonald's or the corner store. It's Chris DeMakes with the Rock Fight fight song. We'll see you next time, Rock Fighters.
What does he choose in that song? The corner store?
He doesn't, actually, I don't think. That was a song about a drug dealer. It's called Dope Man. Rock Fight!